Hello, my name is Carl Middlebrooks, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Branch Office Solutions with Windows Server 2008. More and more, the branch office is becoming an important part of a successful enterprise, and with Windows Server 2008, great strides have been made in enhancing the functionality, manageability, and security of the branch office environment. In this session, we'll cover three main topics. We'll start with a brief introduction of branch office concepts, including both the challenges and the benefits of such an environment. We'll talk about how building an infrastructure that includes Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista can benefit both branch office users and administrators. And over the course of this session, we'll explore the many new features and improvements that have been made in Windows Server 2008 to improve the branch office experience. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. While we'll explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. First, while there are many new and exciting features and capabilities in Windows Server 2008, the basic user interface still behaves much like that of Windows Server 2003 or Windows XP. If you've mastered the UI in those operating systems, then you will have no trouble navigating around Windows Server 2008. Similarly, the basic concepts regarding the management of a Windows-based server are more or less unchanged. If you've managed a Windows Server 2003 server in the past, you'll find the new streamlined setup and automation tools to be welcome and refreshing. And if you manage branch office or remote computers, you'll be excited to hear about how Windows Server 2008 will make your life easier. To cover these topics in a logical fashion, we've divided this session into four main areas. We'll first spend a few minutes talking about the challenges facing branch office deployments today, as well as the benefits Windows Server 2008 brings to the branch office scenario. Essentially, there are three main areas in which Windows Server 2008 can benefit the branch office, starting with easier deployment and administration. Windows Server 2008 introduces some new security features such as BitLocker and read-only domain controllers that improve security for branch offices. The other big concern is bandwidth. Windows Server 2008 offers improvements that help you use your WAN more efficiently. The term branch office has been loosely defined to describe remote locations of an organization of any size that connect to a headquarters or hub location over a wide area network. Managing branch offices locally or remotely presents its own set of challenges in terms of IT resources and security. WAN performance is one of the biggest challenges in a branch office environment. WAN infrastructures are often plagued by high costs, low bandwidth, and high latency. And when client-server applications perform poorly over the WAN, organizations typically deploy branch servers at added infrastructure and managerial costs. Furthermore, WAN latency can lead to productivity loss and end-user dissatisfaction. Deploying new services to the branch often requires new hardware. Server applications and domain controllers need to be secured according to security best practices. This often involves increased hardware and configuration requirements. Finding a way to effectively monitor system health and performance at remote branch office locations can be a complex problem for centralized IT staff. Automating response to branch office outages is also a challenge, and tasks such as backup and restore, gathering operational data, and responding to service requests are all pain points. Supporting branch office users and systems without local IT staff can be challenging, as is maintaining multiple branch office servers. Data protection in the branch office is expensive and unreliable. With tape-based backup, recovery from a branch office server failure consumes more staff resources and takes more time at a greater cost of lost productivity in the branch. Tape backups are notorious for tape failure, storage requirements, and slow data recovery. Even with all of these challenges, the branch office is not without value. Windows Server 2008 has new features to help manage and secure branch office deployments. From an administration perspective, Windows Server 2008 features such as the Print Management Console, PowerShell, WinRS, virtualization, and restartable Active Directory make it easier to perform administration functions for branch offices, as well as better utilizing branch office network resources. For example, the Print Management Console lets administrators control how print jobs are queued, who can print them, and so on. And while we won't spend much time covering it in this session, the virtualization role in Windows Server 2008 provides an entirely new deployment and licensing paradigm to enable multiple operating systems to run in a virtual infrastructure separated from the hardware by a slim hypervisor of virtualization technology. One thing we'll talk about a little later is restartable Active Directory. Restartable Active Directory Domain Services, ADDS, reduces the time that's required to perform certain operations. ADDS can be stopped so that administrators can perform tasks such as upgrading, patching, or offline defragmentation of the Active Directory database without restarting the domain controller. Security features available in Windows Server 2008, such as BitLocker, ServerCore, and the Read-Only Domain Controller, RODC, make it easier for administrators to guarantee that both the data and the servers at branch offices remain secure. We'll cover all of these subjects later on in the session. There are several new features in Windows Server 2008 that help optimize WAN efficiency, such as DFS replication, sysvol replication, and improved network protocols. The Distributed File System Replication, DFSR, service is a multi-master replication engine that is used to keep folders synchronized on multiple servers. Replicating data to multiple servers increases data availability and gives users in remote sites fast, reliable access to files. In Windows Server 2008, DFSR will replicate sysvol, resulting in a dramatic reduction in bandwidth consumption. The move to Windows Server 2008 can help you realize a more efficient and automated environment. We actually have a way to measure and help you map out these improvements with what we call the Infrastructure Optimization, IO, model. The vision of the IO model is to help customers realize the value of their investments in IT infrastructure to make it a strategic asset that enables agility within their organization and ultimately to help them create an infrastructure for a people-ready business. In other words, the IO model can help you understand and subsequently improve the current state of your IT infrastructure and work towards specific goals that will help you move from a basic, unmanaged environment towards a dynamic one. Security improves from highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. For example, in a basic branch office environment, there may be a lack of security standards that protect users from virus and hacker attacks. There may be no centralized deployment of critical Windows updates. Help desk calls are likely frequent and require the direct intervention of IT staff to resolve issues. These types of situations are addressed and resolved as you move towards a dynamic environment as outlined in the IO model. Windows Server 2008 includes new security, management, and automation features that can help you move more easily toward a dynamic and people-ready environment. You can read more about this at www.microsoftio.com. As we continue through the session, we'll review the new features and improvements in Windows Server 2008 that will help you improve your IT infrastructure. So let's look at how Windows Server 2008 aids deployment and administration in branch offices. Active Directory Domain Services in Windows Server 2008 offers improvements designed to simplify the management of domain services and provide administrators with a greater degree of flexibility in addressing the needs of the branch office. Some of the key management enhancements include changes to the MMC used to manage ADDS, which include an improved interface and streamlined management options. Other improved tools help you find domain controllers throughout the enterprise. These improvements clearly aid administrators managing branch offices, but will also be of interest to administrators responsible for managing domain controllers in hub locations and data centers, as well as to system builders who perform server installations. To simplify the installation, a new installation wizard is included in Windows Server 2008. In the new wizard, related functionality is now grouped together. For example, all error checking for local network settings such as TCP/IP and DNS client settings are grouped together. Functionality that's relevant only to the creation of a new domain, such as NetBIOS name and anonymous access permissions, are provided near the selection of a new domain. In addition to these changes, the Active Directory Domain Services Installation Wizard has new dialog pages, which we will explore more closely in a moment. Other improvements reduce the chances for error during ADDS installation. For example, when installing an additional domain controller, the user can select the domain name from a domain tree view rather than having to type it. A read-only domain controller, RODC, is a new type of domain controller in the Windows Server 2008 operating system. With an RODC, organizations can limit the risks of deploying a domain controller in locations where physical security cannot be guaranteed. An RODC hosts a read-only replica of a given domain in an ADDS forest. Again, we'll cover this in greater detail later on. The DNS server service can be installed on an RODC. An RODC is able to replicate all application directory partitions that DNS uses, including forest DNS zones and domain DNS zones. If the DNS server is installed on an RODC, clients can query it for name resolution as they would query any other DNS server. However, the DNS server on an RODC does not support client updates directly. Consequently, the RODC does not register NS records for any Active Directory integrated zone that it hosts. When a client attempts to update its DNS records against an RODC, the server returns a referral. The client can then attempt to update the DNS against the DNS server provided in the referral. In the background, the DNS server on the RODC will attempt to replicate the updated record from the DNS server that made the update. This replication request is only for a single object, the DNS record. The entire list of changed zone or domain data does not get replicated during this special replicate single object request. Another new improvement is the ability to stop and restart Active Directory domain services from an MMC snap-in or the command line. Restartable ADDS reduces the time that's required to perform certain operations, such as applying updates to a domain controller. We'll look at this process in more detail in just a bit. Here's a look at some of the new Active Directory installation wizard features. First, on the site selection page, you can specify the site in which the domain controller should be installed. On the Additional Options page, you can specify that during the domain controller installation, the domain controller should also be configured to be a DNS server, Global Catalog Server, or RODC. Also new is the ability to set the domain and forest functional level during the installation of a new domain or forest. This only applies to domain controllers in a new domain or forest, not an RODC. You can modify the password replication policy during this wizard. This applies only to an RODC installation. The password replication policy determines if the credentials are allowed to be replicated and stored on the RODC. You can specify a user or group that will be able to have local administrative privileges on the RODC. You can also create DNS delegation based on the type of domain controller installation and the DNS environment. Finally, when creating a new domain controller in an existing domain, you can choose a specific source DC from which to replicate domain data during installation, creating more efficiency and eliminating guesswork. Windows Server 2008 introduces the ability to restart Active Directory domain services without restarting the actual operating system. ADDS can be stopped so that updates can be applied to a domain controller. For example, you can ask ADDS to perform tasks such as offline defragmentation of the Active Directory database without restarting the domain controller or otherwise taking it offline. Other services that are running on the server and that do not depend on ADDS to function, such as DHCP, remain available to satisfy client requests even while ADDS is stopped. Although stopping ADDS is similar to logging on in Directory Services Restore mode, restartable ADDS provides a unique state for a domain controller running Windows Server 2008. This state is known as ADDS stopped. There are three possible states for a domain controller running Windows Server 2008, starting with Directory Services Restore mode, DSRM. This is a special boot mode that's used to log on to the computer when Active Directory has failed or needs to be restored. You can log on to DSRM using a special DRM password that you set when you promoted the domain controller. When Active Directory successfully starts on a domain controller, it is in the ADDS started state. This is the standard state for an operational domain controller. In ADDS stopped state, Active Directory services are suspended. Although this mode is unique, this server has some characteristics of both a domain controller in Directory Services Restore mode and a domain-joined member server. As with DSRM, the Active Directory database is offline, and the DSRM password can be used to log on locally if another domain controller cannot be contacted for logon. As with a member server, the server is joined to the domain. Also, users can log on interactively or over the network by using another domain controller for domain logon. However, a domain controller should not remain in this state for an extended period of time because in this state it cannot service logon requests or replicate with other domain controllers. Before we move on to the first demonstration, let's look at how our server environment is configured for this session. Here are the servers we'll be using today. Let's move on to the first demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll create a new domain tree and explore some of the Server Manager features. For this demonstration, we'll install a new child domain in our existing forest. Our forest functional level is set to Windows Server 2008. Operating at this level will give functionality such as adding RODC deployment capabilities, which we'll explore later. Active Directory Domain Services, ADDS, stores information about users' computers and other devices on the network. ADDS helps administrators securely manage this information and facilitates resource sharing and collaboration between users. We'll find the ADDS wizard in the Server Manager console under ADDS roles. This will install the Active Directory binaries, but it will not make this server into a domain controller yet. That's a separate step. The installation will take a few minutes, so let's switch to a machine that already has ADDS installed. From the Server Manager, we can tell that Active Directory Domain Services role has been installed, but this server has not yet been promoted to a domain controller. Active Directory is also to be installed on the network in order to use directory-enabled applications such as Microsoft Exchange Server and for applying other Windows Server technologies such as Group Policy. So just installing ADDS does not create a domain controller. To keep a logical makeup to our directory forest, we want to create a separate domain for our branch office deployments. We need to run Active Directory Domain Services Installation Wizard to create a new child domain. Now we'll use the Active Directory Domain Services Installation Wizard to guide us through the domain creation. On the Choose a Deployment Configuration page, we can choose to add a domain controller, but we want to create a new child domain, so we'll make sure to select that. When you install ADDS, you must provide credentials corresponding to a user account that has sufficient privileges to install the domain controller. The network credentials that are required by the Active Directory Domain Services Installation Wizard differ for various deployment configurations. For example, to install the new Active Directory Forest, you only need to be a member of the local administrators group on the server that will become the first domain controller in the forest. To add a new domain to an existing forest or to remove a domain, however, you must be a member of the Enterprise Admins group or a member of the Domain Admins group in the parent domain of the domain that you want to add or remove. The Active Directory Domain Services Installation Wizard verifies that the credentials you supply are sufficient to implement the deployment configuration that you specify in the wizard. We'll be using Andrew Dixon's user account, which has been added to the Enterprise Admins group. Let's call our new domain northwest.contoso.com. For demonstration purposes, we'll keep the new domain in the same site, but usually you would have other sites to choose from. Here we'll use the default first site. On the Additional Domain Controller page, we verify the DNS name and select the Global Catalog Roles service. Under Additional Information, there is a reminder that the first domain controller in a new domain cannot be an RODC. This is because the RODC, being a non-writable copy of Active Directory, must pull its information from a writable domain controller within the domain. We install the default settings for the location of the Active Directory databases. And on the Directory Services Restore Mode Administrator page, we input our password and then confirm it. On the Summary page, we can review our new domain information selections. Our domain will be called northwest.contoso.com and the NetBIOS name will be Northwest. While this is installing, we will move over to another server. We're back on the server where we installed the ADDS role earlier and our installation completed successfully. In addition to server roles, we can also add or remove features which were managed from the Add or Remove Programs window in previous versions. Features are basically software programs that, though they are not directly parts of the server role, support or augment the functionality of one or more roles or enhance the functionality of the entire server, regardless of which roles are installed. For example, the failover clustering feature augments the functionality of other roles such as file services and DHCP server by enabling them to join cluster servers for increased redundancy and improved performance. Windows Server Backup allows you to back up and recover your operating system applications and data. You can schedule backups to run once a day or more often and can protect the entire server or specific volumes. BitLocker Drive Encryption helps protect data on lost, stolen, or inappropriately decommissioned computers by encrypting the entire volume and checking the integrity of early boot components. Data is only decrypted if those components are successfully verified and the encrypted drive is located in the original computer. Integrity checking requires a compatible Trusted Platform Module, TPM. In this section, we'll review the new restartable Active Directory. To stop and restart Active Directory, you must be a member of the built-in administrators group on the local machine. With Restartable Active Directory, we reduce the required time and ease the process of doing offline defragmentation and authoritative restores. We can also apply security updates to Active Directory without having to reboot the whole server. Here, we're able to see all of the services that are dependent on ADDS and will be stopped while Active Directory is offline. These services include file replication. While file replication is offline, Active Directory will not replicate to this server. Intersite messaging is dependent on ADDS, so it will stop too. In Windows Server 2008, inter-site messaging includes both RPC and SMTP. While Kerberos key distribution is offline, new keys will not be issued. Other dependent services include Exchange and IPsec. Now let's look at the features of the Server Manager console. The Diagnostics group includes several tools to help you track down and address server-specific issues. If you're noticing performance or availability-related problems with the server, start researching here after checking the Server Role main pages. The Event Viewer is an MMC snap-in that enables you to browse and manage event logs. It's an indispensable tool for monitoring the health of systems and troubleshooting issues when they arise. When you use Event Viewer to troubleshoot a problem, you need to locate events related to the problem, regardless of which event log they appear in. In Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008, Event Viewer enables you to filter for specific events across multiple logs. That makes it easy to display all events potentially related to an issue that you're investigating. To specify a filter that spans multiple logs, you need to create a custom view. You can use the services snap-in to manage services that are running on local or remote computers. For example, to start or stop a service. A service is an application type that runs in the system background without a user interface and is similar to a Unix daemon application. Services provide core operating system features such as web serving, event logging, file serving, printing, cryptography, and error reporting. You can use Reliability and Performance Monitor to examine how programs you run affect your computer's performance, both in real time and by collecting log data for later analysis. Windows Reliability and Performance Monitor uses performance counters, event trace data, and configuration information which can be combined into data collector sets. This gives you more insight as to what is happening on the computer than using Task Manager alone. For example, we can examine the individual processes that are accessing the hard drives to diagnose high usage situations. These counters allow you to spot high resource usage for each of the four key performance-related hardware resources: CPU, disk, network, and memory. The Reliability Monitor snap-in provides a system stability overview and the details about events that impact reliability. It calculates the stability index shown in the system stability chart over the lifetime of the system. Device Manager provides you with a graphical view of the hardware that's installed on your computer. All devices communicate with Windows through a piece of software called a device driver. You can use Device Manager to install and update the drivers for your hardware devices, modify hardware settings for those devices, and troubleshoot problems. The Configuration Tool Group provides access to settings for the local computer, such as scheduling tasks, configuring the Windows firewall, and managing the Windows management instrumentation. The Task Scheduler MMC snap-in helps you schedule automated tasks that perform actions at a specific time or when a certain event occurs. It maintains a library of all scheduled tasks, providing an organized view of the tasks and a convenient point of access for managing them. From within the library, you can run, disable, modify, and delete tasks. The two key concepts involved in scheduling a task are triggers and actions. A trigger causes a task to run, and an action is the work that's performed when the task is run. The actions a task can perform include running a program, sending an email message, and showing a message box. Windows Firewall with Advanced Security combines a host firewall and IPsec. Unlike a perimeter firewall, Windows Firewall with Advanced Security runs on each computer running this version of Windows and provides local protection from network attacks that might pass through your perimeter network or originate inside your organization. It also provides computer-to-computer connection security that allows you to require authentication and data protection for communications. Windows Management Instrumentation is the main source of management data and functionality on local and remote computers that run Microsoft Windows operating systems. WMI Control is a tool that enables you to configure WMI settings on a remote or local computer. you can configure the WMI control to back up your WMI repository on a regular schedule, or you can back up the repository manually at any time. The repository is the database of objects you can access through WMI. You can also restore a previous version of the repository. The latest tool group provides access to some of the basic disk management tools available within the Windows Server operating system. Windows Server Backup is a feature of Microsoft Windows Server 2008 that provides a set of wizards and other tools for you to perform basic backup and recovery tasks for the server it's installed on. To access these tools, you must first add the server feature on the local machine. Disk management is a system utility for managing hard disks and the volumes or partitions they contain. With disk management, you can initialize disks, create volumes, and format volumes with the FAT, FAT32, or NTFS file systems. Disk management enables you to perform most disk-related tasks without restarting the system or interrupting users. Now let's move on to the next item on the agenda. Next, we'll focus on some new security features in Windows Server 2008 that can help in branch office scenarios. We talked a bit about read-only domain controllers earlier, so now let's look at this new feature more closely. A read-only domain controller, or RODC, is a new type of domain controller in the Windows Server 2008 operating system that provides the ability to easily deploy a domain controller that hosts a read-only replica of the domain database. This is well suited for locations where physical security of the domain controller can't be guaranteed, where network connectivity may be of concern, or where other applications must run on a domain controller and be maintained by a server administrator. All of these scenarios are common in branch office deployments. An RODC holds the same objects and attributes that a writable domain controller holds. However, locally originating changes are not made to the RODC replica itself. Instead, these changes are made on a writable domain controller and then replicated back to the RODC. This prevents changes made at branch locations from potentially polluting or corrupting the Active Directory forest through replication. Administrators may also specifically configure an RODC to store or cache user credentials. The first time a user attempts to authenticate to an RODC, the RODC forwards the request to a writable domain controller. If the authentication is successful, the RODC requests a copy of the user credentials. The password replication policy determines if the credentials are allowed to be replicated and cached on the RODC. If the credentials are cached, the next time the user attempts to log on, the request can be directly serviced by the RODC until that RODC is subsequently notified through replication of a credential change. Credential caching can increase end-user productivity by mitigating the effects of wide-area network latency or network connectivity issues that are commonly experienced by branch offices. ADDS also maintains a list of all credentials stored on RODCs, and if an RODC is ever compromised, an administrator may force a password reset for all user credentials stored on that RODC. Read-only domain controllers are ideal for placement where exposure to outside attacks is highest. This typically includes the edges of a perimeter network, also called a DMZ, or any environment where security is lower than best practice recommendations. As previously mentioned, the branch office scenario often matches this description. Application servers such as Internet Information Services, IIS, and messaging servers such as Microsoft Exchange are often placed on the edges of a perimeter network. Applications running on IIS often require a directory service for authentication, and Exchange Server always requires Active Directory, but providing these servers access to a writable domain controller represents a security risk. RODCs are ideal for scenarios like this. To enhance user authentication response time, it's often desirable to locate a domain controller in branch offices or on network edge sites. Branch offices and network edge sites can be difficult to secure. The read-only domain controller role is designed for scenarios where a domain controller needs to be placed in an environment with low security. An RODC does not store any passwords by default. If the RODC is compromised, network intrusion using the information obtained from the RODC is a significantly smaller concern. Because branch offices often have few or no physical access controls, RODCs can be a more secure choice for branch office domain controller placement. RODCs store read-only copies of Active Directory information using unidirectional replication for Active Directory and File Replication System or Distributed File System Replication. Each RODC has its own Kerberos Key Distribution Center KRBTGT account. This is the account that issues tickets. This allows cryptographic isolation so that credentials from a compromised RODC can be more easily identified and the credentials terminated. RODC uses workstation accounts, so it has very limited rights to write in Active Directory. This minimizes possible malicious use of the RODC's credentials. Because RODCs have workstation accounts, they have no enterprise domain controller group membership. Finally, most of the best practice recommendations in the Active Directory branch office guide are enabled by default. In summary, RODCs provide a way to deploy a domain controller more securely in a branch office location, extranet, or an application-facing role. RODCs are designed to be placed in locations that require rapid, reliable, and robust authentication services, but that might also have a security limitation that prevents deployment of a writable domain controller. Let's take a minute to install and configure an RODC. In this demonstration, we'll install the RODC in our new domain. We'll also add a local administrator account and give that account backup and print administrator credentials. This is the server that we installed ADDS on in the last demonstration. It will be running our RODC and will be deployed to the branch office for security and redundancy. In the Server Manager Roles Summary page, we can not only run the Active Directory Domain Services Wizard, we can also review other installed roles. For each role installed on our server, we're provided with the status information of the role to quickly determine the overall health of the server. Role services are programs that provide the functionality of a role. When you install a role, you can choose which role services the role will provide for other users and computers in your enterprise. Some roles, such as DNS server, have only a single function and therefore do not have available role services. Other roles, like the Active Directory Domain Services, have several role services that can be installed depending on the remote computing needs of your enterprise. For the most part, the process of creating and adding an RODC to the domain is the same as a normal DC installation, but there are a few differences. A read-only domain controller is a new type of domain controller for Windows Server 2008 that hosts a read-only replica of the Active Directory database. RODCs provide a way for you to deploy a domain controller more securely than a writable domain controller at the perimeter of your network in sites that require a single domain controller, such as a branch office location, an extranet, or an application-facing role. Because it requires less administration than a writable domain controller, an RODC is well suited for a site that does not have a member of the domain admins group. We'll add our RODC to an existing domain. We'll be using an enterprise admin account to add this RODC. Since it's an enterprise admin account, we have to reference the originating domain, which in this case is Contoso. Now we select the domain for which this server will become a domain controller. You can choose additional installation options for a domain controller during Active Directory Domain Services installation, such as installing the DNS server service, or making the server a global catalog server or a read-only domain controller. When installing the RODC option, we strongly suggest that you install the DNS server service on the server. When you install an RODC in a branch office, if a DNS server is not available locally in the branch office, clients in the branch office will not be able to perform name resolution when the wide area network is not available. With Windows Server 2008, the read-only domain controller can also be a global catalog server for the Active Directory domain. When you create an account for the installation of an RODC, you can specify which user or group will be responsible for subsequently attaching the server to the RODC account. If you do not specify a user or group, only a member of the domain admin's group or the enterprise admin's group can attach the server to the account. If you do not specify a user or group who can attach the server to the account, that user or group will also be responsible for administering the RODC after the installation is complete. On the next few pages, we'll provide information we are familiar with from previous versions of Windows Server, such as where the Active Directory database, log files, and the sysvol shared folder will be stored on the server. We'll also specify the directory services restore mode password that's required to log on to a domain controller when ADDS is not running, either because the service is stopped or because the domain controller has been started in DSRM, the directory services restore mode. On the summary page, we confirm that this will be an RODC. The installation will take a few minutes, so we'll go out and check some of the Windows Server 2008 features on another of our domain controllers. An important benefit of an RODC is that it requires less administration than a writable domain controller. It requires only inbound replication and no erroneous information can be written to the Active Directory database. However, the password replication policy for an RODC presents minor administrative requirements. An RODC also requires maintenance activities that are similar to those of a writable domain controller. These include routine backups of system state data and the application of software updates. The Password Replication Policy tab lists the accounts that by default are defined in the Allowed list and the Denied list on the RODC. To add other groups that should be included in either the Allowed list or the Denied list, click Add. Accounts that will not have credentials cached on the RODC can still use the RODC for domain logon. The credentials, however, will not be cached for subsequent logon using the RODC. By accessing the Advanced Password Replication Policy, we can see that the user and computer account whose passwords have been cached on this read-only domain controller. Periodically, you should review whose accounts have been authenticated to an RODC. This information can help you plan updates that you intend to make to the existing password replication policy. For example, you should look at which user and computer accounts have authenticated as an RODC so you can add those accounts to the allowed list in advance. You deploy the RODC to the branch office to enhance the security of the Active Directory database on a server which may not be completely physically secure. If you find that the RODC has been compromised or stolen, you will need to delete the server account from the domain and reset the passwords for all of the accounts that have been cached. By default, when deleting the read-only domain controller, all passwords on all user accounts that were cached on the server will be reset. This will necessitate an increase in help desk calls as each user will need to be provided with a new password to access their account. You can also reset the password for computer accounts if you have significant reason to do so. And you can export a list of accounts that were cached on the compromised domain controller. With this list, you can proactively contact the affected users to warn them about the password reset. The list of users is basically the accounts that we saw earlier in the Advanced Password Replication Policy dialog box. When the server account has been disabled, you can rebuild the server for deployment to replace the compromised server. In many branch offices, a domain controller is given additional server roles or tasks to perform, such as acting as a file or print server. In other cases, a line of business application is installed on a domain controller out of necessity. This creates a problem. In order to administer those applications and servers, an employee at the branch office needs to have administrative credentials. And anyone who can administer one Windows Server 2003 domain controller can administer the entire domain. Administrator role separation specifies that any domain user can be delegated the local administrator of an RODC without granting that user any user rights for the domain or other domain controllers. Accordingly, a local branch user can log on to an RODC to perform maintenance work on the server, such as upgrading a driver. But the branch user would not be able to log on to any other domain controller or to perform any other administrative task in the domain. In this way, the branch user can be delegated the ability to effectively manage the RODC in the branch office without compromising the security of the rest of the domain. To configure administrator role separation from the local role subtree of the DSMGMT tool, use the add command followed by the domain user account and then the desired administrative role. After a user has been added to the administrator role on an RODC, that user can log on locally to perform other assigned duties. Now let's talk about BitLocker. BitLocker drive encryption is an integral new security feature in both Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista to protect servers at locations such as branch offices and to protect mobile computers for roaming users. BitLocker is a hardware-based security feature to protect data by using full-volume encryption and protects branch offices from data theft using devices such as USB drives. BitLocker provides considerable offline data and operating system protection by ensuring that data stored on the computer is not revealed if the machine is tampered with when the installed operating system is offline. It optionally uses a Trusted Platform Module, or TPM, to provide enhanced protection for your data and to assure early boot component integrity. This helps protect your data from theft or unauthorized viewing by encrypting the entire Windows volume. BitLocker Drive Encryption is designed to offer the most transparent end-user experience with systems that have a compatible TPM microchip and BIOS. The TPM interacts with BitLocker Drive Encryption to help provide protection at system startup. BitLocker Drive Encryption can also be used on computers without a compatible TPM. Using BitLocker in this way provides the volume encryption capabilities but not the added security of early boot file integrity validation. Instead, a USB flash drive validates the user's identity at startup. We'll see how this works in an upcoming demonstration. Finally, BitLocker is configurable through group policy. This means that with Windows Server 2008, you have the ability to implement an enterprise-wide BitLocker policy. For example, you could have a BitLocker password recovery in Active Directory, allowing group policy to manage BitLocker settings for Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. Beginning with Windows Server 2008, administrators can choose to install Windows Server with only core server functionality and without any extra overhead. Server availability begins with rapidly deploying new servers to meet organizational needs and continues with keeping those servers running effectively. Windows Server 2008 helps organizations increase availability for their dedicated branch office file and print servers, Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol DHCP servers, Domain Name System DNS servers, and domain controllers using the new Server Core deployment option. The new Server Core installation option runs before Windows Server and lets administrators select roles in their most highly reliable state. This limits the roles that the server can perform, but it can improve security and reduce management. Server Core provides several benefits. First, because Server Core installs only what's required to have a manageable DHCP, DNS, file server, or domain controller, the server requires less software maintenance, such as installing updates. Since there are fewer files installed and running on the server, there are fewer attack vectors exposed to the network and therefore less of an attack surface. In addition, if a security flaw or vulnerability is discovered in a file that's not installed, an update is not required. This significantly reduces risk and increases reliability. Because fewer files are installed on a server core-based server, there's less to manage. Server core uses only about 1 gigabyte of disk space for installation. There are 5 steps to configuring server core. First, you need to set the administrator password. When you log on to a computer running a server core installation of Windows Server 2008, the command prompt will start. This is expected behavior. If you close the command prompt window, you can restart it through Task Manager or log off and log on again. Next, you should specify an IP address. A DHCP address is set by default, but you can specify a static address. If you need to join the server core system to an existing Windows domain, you will need a username and password for an account that has the proper credentials. Activate the new installation of Windows Server 2008. Finally, you should configure the firewall remotely since there is no management GUI available in server core. Let's take a look at how to do some of these tasks locally on server core. In this demonstration, we'll see how to manage the server core installation of Windows Server 2008 from the command prompt, starting with a fresh installation of the operating system. When you log on to either a standard installation or a server core installation of Windows Server 2008, you'll use the local administrator user account, which will have a blank password by default. This behavior can be changed if you're installing the operating system with an unattended script. On this server, the interface is the command prompt. We'll perform our entire configuration directly on this machine through the command prompt directly or through scripts. And when we close the command prompt, we cannot interact with the desktop at all. No options are available when right-clicking the desktop or pressing any of the common Windows key shortcut combinations. To launch another command prompt window, we need to press Ctrl-Alt-Delete to access the Task Manager. From the Task Manager, we can access the Create New Task dialog box to launch the command prompt. When working with the server core installation, experience with working from the command prompt will be useful. The new server will have a random computer name, it will have the network adapter set to DHCP, the administrator password is blank, and there are no optional components installed on the server. Let's secure the server and set the administrator password. This can be done with the netusers command. The first option for this command is to set the password, so by running the command with the user account and an asterisk, we'll be prompted to provide the new password. To make sure we're now running with the secure account, we'll log off and then log back on to the server. Next, to allow this server to communicate with the rest of the network, we'll need to configure the network adapter. Because there may be multiple adapters installed on the server, we'll query the interface list from the netsh command. On this server, the local area connection network adapter is indexed as number 2. We'll set the address, specifying the adapter with the name tag, which is 2. Also, since we want to specify an IP address, we have to set the source to static. To check the current configuration, we can run ipconfig with the all switch. The settings took effect for the IP address configuration, but we still have to add the DNS server that we want to use for DNS name resolution. To do this, we'll use the add DNS server command for the netsh interface. After this command runs, we can run ipconfig again to check the settings. With the IP address and DNS settings properly set, the server should now be able to communicate with the other servers on the Contoso.com network. Before we join this server to the domain, we should set the computer name. To access computer information, run the systeminfo command. By default, the Windows Server 2008 setup program will give the computer a random name starting with LH. We'll need the existing computer name in order to run the netdom rename computer command. Just as we would on the standard Windows installation, we'll need to restart the server for this change to take effect. Now let's look at a few more features of Windows Server 2008. We'll look at how network improvements in Windows Server 2008 help improve WAN efficiency for the branch office. A key technology in this is the Distributed File System, or DFS. The newly redesigned DFS contains state-of-the-art replication, management, and compression technologies that ensure the efficient use of bandwidth. DFS includes bandwidth-intelligent file system technologies and provides an efficient framework for server-to-server file replication. DFS employs state-of-the-art compression algorithms and efficient replication mechanisms that ensure files are only transferred when needed and that only the minimal set of information required is replicated while maintaining distributed file consistency. DFS can also help simplify the management of and increase the overall productivity of an organization's branch offices. Key elements of DFS include DFS namespaces. DFS namespaces allow administrators to group shared folders located on different servers and present them to users as a virtual tree of folders known as a namespace. A namespace provides numerous benefits, including increased availability of data, load sharing, and simplified data migration. The namespace is administered by using the DFS Management Console, which provides a hierarchical view of the namespace. The DFS Management Console incorporates functionality that was previously available through the command line interface and includes MMC 3.0 features, such as in-the-box HTML reports and diagnostics. DFSR is a robust, multi-master file replication service that is significantly more scalable and efficient in synchronizing file servers than its predecessor file replication services. DFSR can be used to replicate branch office data to other branches and hub servers, any of which can serve as backup sources if the server at a branch office goes down. DFSR supports automated recovery from database loss or corruption. DFSR supports replication scheduling and bandwidth throttling. DFSR also uses a new compression algorithm known as RDC. RDC is an advanced WAN-friendly compression technology that optimizes data transfers over limited bandwidth networks. Instead of transferring similar or redundant data repeatedly, RDC accurately identifies changes referred to as deltas within and across files and transmits only those changes to achieve significant bandwidth savings. RDC detects insertions, removals, or rearrangement of data in files, enabling DFSR to replicate only the changed file blocks when files are updated. In addition to calculating file deltas and transferring only the differences, RDC can also copy any similar file from any client or server to another using data that's common to both computers. This further reduces the amount of data sent and the overall bandwidth requirements for file transfers. Local differencing techniques, sometimes known as patching, are used to transform the old version to a new version. The differences between two known versions of a file are calculated on a server and then they are sent to the client. When users access a folder in the namespace, the client computers contact the namespace server and receive a referral. Client computers access the first server in their respective referrals. If local servers become unavailable, DFS namespaces configurations provide for client failover by closest site selection and failback to a preferred server. For example, if failback is enabled on a DFS link that has targets in both the branch and the hub, branch clients will automatically fail over to the hub when service is unavailable and automatically revert back to the branch when that service is available again. Replication changes are not the only network improvements to Windows Server 2008 that help branch offices. The Server Message Block, SMB, is an extension of the Common Internet File System. Windows Server 2008 features SMB version 2.0, which provides client-side cache improvements and enhanced file copy performance. SMB is the file sharing protocol used by default on Windows-based computers and includes both an SMB client and an SMB server. SMB in versions of Windows prior to Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, known as SMB 1.0, was originally designed 15 years ago for early Windows-based network operating systems such as Microsoft LAN Manager and Windows for Workgroups and has some serious limitations. SMB 2.0 is redesigned for today's networking environments and to meet the needs of the next generation of file servers. SMB 2.0 greatly increases restrictive constants such as the number of open files or shares on the server. SMB 2.0 protocol improvements decrease protocol traffic by reducing the chattiness that was commonly associated with SMB 1.0. SMB 2.0 supports sending multiple SMB commands within the same packet. This reduces the number of packets sent between an SMB client and server, a common complaint about SMB 1.0. SMB 2.0 also supports much larger buffer sizes compared to SMB 1.0. More round trips amount to higher wait times for users trying to use applications over the WAN. More efficient protocols can't eliminate latency, but they can minimize its effect and provide the user with a better user experience. SMB 2.0 offers considerable improvement over SMB 1.0, further reducing the negative impact of latency. SMB 2.0 supports durable handles that can withstand short interruptions in network availability, symbolic links, and simplifies signing algorithms, enabling stronger security. Let's move on to the final part of our demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll finish the configuration of our Server Core installation. Then we'll install Server Core features. Next, we'll enable Windows Remote Management, and then we'll use Windows Remote Shell on the client machine to change some settings. Now, when we log back onto the server, we can join this server to the contoso.com domain. The netdom command for joining a domain can be a little tricky. The slash domain switch defines the domain that we're joining, but notice the D at the end of the slash user D and slash password D switches. This means that we're using a domain account rather than a local computer account. Because it's using the username and password from a domain account, the command must be able to resolve the contoso.com domain with DNS. The server requires a reboot, which we'll skip for the sake of the time, but note that skipping the reboot will cause DC Promo to fail later in the demonstration. Now we can start preparing for this server to become a domain controller. As a domain controller, the correct system time is very important for Kerberos authentication and for Active Directory replication. To check the system time, we'll access one of the few available GUI controls in the server core installation. We can also change international settings by running control intl.cpl. With the base server configuration in place, we can now start adding server roles. This task is completed through the command prompt using the OC setup command. To see a list of roles available and whether they are installed, run OC list. Similar to the RODC, the server core installation may be a good solution for placing domain controllers at the branch office. Furthermore, the server core installation can also run as a read-only domain controller. If this is the case, you should install DNS on the server so branch office users are guaranteed to be able to resolve internal resources even when the WAN is unavailable. Note that all commands with OC setup are case sensitive, so make sure you match the case as listed from OC list. The file server role is installed by default to provide administrators share support for management tools. To install additional file server features, use OC setup. For example, use frs-infrastructure to install the file replication service, which is a prerequisite for becoming a domain controller. Distributed file system consists of two technologies that can be used together or independently to provide fault-tolerant and flexible file sharing and replication services on a Windows-based network. DFS namespaces enables you to group shared folders located on different servers into one or more logically structured namespaces. Each namespace appears to users as a single shared folder with a series of subfolders. However, the underlying structure of the namespace can consist of numerous shared folders located on different servers and in multiple sites. DFS replication is a multi-master replication engine that enables you to synchronize folders on multiple servers across local or wide area network WAN network connections. It uses the Remote Differential Compression, RDC, protocol to update only the portions of files that have changed since the last replication. DFS replication can be used in conjunction with DFS namespaces or by itself. Now we're ready to promote this server to the domain controller role. OC setup does not support the installation of Active Directory domain services. We'll use DC Promo to install this service, but the wizard is not available within the server core installation. Our options for DC Promo are to either run it with a bunch of command line switches or to run it in an unattended installation mode. The edit unattend.txt command will open the command line version of Notepad and create the unattend.txt file in the current folder. The unattend.txt file starts with a section to define the unattend mode. We'll perform a full unattended installation, which means that we don't expect any user interaction after launching DC Promo. This is followed with the DC Install section, which will provide all of the answers necessary for DC Promo to install this server as a domain controller in the contoso.com domain. This section starts by providing user credentials in the existing domain. Then we'll define the local paths for the Active Directory database, the log files, and the sysvol share. Each of these are required fields for the unattend.txt file. Next, we must define a safe mode administrative password for use in case the ADDS services fail to start or when starting the server in Active Directory restoration mode. When installing the RODC server on CDCO3, take note that the available answers for the replica or new domain field are replica, domain, or read-only replica. Because this is a replica of an existing domain, we need to define the domain for which this server will be a domain controller. The replication source DC field indicates the full DNS name of the domain controller from which you want to replicate the domain information. We'll add an optional line which will reboot the server as soon as the installation process completes. Now we'll save the file and exit the MS-DOS editor program. The unattend.txt file is now located at the root of the C drive. We've only included a minimal number of commands for this unattend.txt file. For a full list of options to run with dcpromo, run dcpromo /?:unattend. To run dcpromo with the unattend file, include the /unattend switch followed by the path to the answer file. The process starts by checking to see if the Active Directory domain services binaries are installed, and the dcpromo process promotes the server to a domain controller and initiates the replication process. We've already installed the ADDS server role and promoted this server to be a domain controller in the contoso.com domain. Let's review some configuration tasks you may have to perform beyond what we've covered so far. We've done this earlier, but we can run the systeminfo command at the command prompt to gather information about the local computer. This server, CDCO5, is in the contoso.com domain. Before placing the server at the branch office or on the perimeter network, you'll want to configure the Windows firewall with advanced security. When done locally, this must be done from the command prompt with the NetSH utility. Alternately, you can load the Windows firewall with advanced security snap-in on another computer and connect to this server remotely. After installing the domain controller, you should still pay attention to the other options available on the Server Core installation of Windows Server 2008. For example, you can use BitLocker to secure the contents of the server by encrypting the entire file system rather than encrypting individual files. With BitLocker, if the server drive is compromised, a malicious user cannot see the contents of the file system with drive utilities, ensuring your information remains secure. Not all tasks can be performed from the command line or remotely through an MMC snap-in. To allow you to configure these settings, there is a script included with the Server Core installation of Windows Server 2008 that can be configured to use installation of Windows Server 2008 that can be used to configure the page file, enable automatic updates, and enable error reporting, among many other features. Even with the minimal installation of Windows Server 2008, keeping the server up to date with the latest security patches is critical for the ongoing maintenance of the server. Windows Automatic Updates will only install those security features and updates that apply to installed server roles and features. After installing terminal services using OC Setup, you can use this script to allow remote administrative connections to this server. Similarly, the /im switch allows you to configure whether to allow remote management of the IPsec monitor. To access a reference file for all of the management commands we've run today, run this script with the /cli switch. This lists all of the commands necessary to rename the computer, reset user passwords, join domains, install server roles or optional features, and manage system drivers. For example, we can run this script with the /ato switch to activate the operating system, which must be done within 30 days of installation or the system will stop working. In addition to the local command line utilities on the server core installation, you can administer the server remotely using the Microsoft Management Console. However, this cannot be done for the entire Server Manager console, which is meant strictly for local computer management. For some of the server roles, you may be able to change the focus within the Server Manager console. For example, we can focus on a server core domain controller to view the Active Directory Users and Computers MMC snap-in. Several tools are still available using the Computer Management Console, which is available from the Start menu in the Administrative Tool folder. Since this console is not locked to the local computer, we can change the focus to any of the Windows Server 2008 Server Core servers in the domain. For troubleshooting, we can access the Windows Event Viewer with the full functionality included with Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. This includes the ability to filter events using a number of criteria or to only view critical administrative events. The Reliability and Performance Monitor can be very useful in troubleshooting overtaxed hardware, especially since the Server Core interface provides only the command line tools. While using the netstart or netstop commands is pretty simple, viewing the list of services and their current state is much easier using the snap-in remotely. That just about wraps up this session. Let's review what we've covered. The main things to remember from this session are that Windows Server 2008 benefits the branch office environment in several key areas. First, Windows Server 2008 eases deployment and administration with restartable Active Directory and the new Active Directory installation wizard. Second, security features available in Windows Server 2008, such as BitLocker, Server Core, and read-only domain controllers, make it easier to guarantee that both the data and servers at branch offices remain secure. And finally, there are several new features in Windows Server 2008 that help optimize WAN efficiency, such as DFS replication, sysvol replication, and improved network protocols. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/ADD313 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, MOOC, which includes e-learning, MS Pressbooks, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostic tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Pressbooks, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, MCP. You can choose to become a fully certified system administrator, MCSA, or system engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, MCITP credentials provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you may find interesting. To help explain this further, here's Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.